It's so loud I can't hear myself think. Ever said that before? Ever been in a place where things seem so chaotic and so loud and so distracting that you can't concentrate? Ever been in a place where everything's coming at you at one time, good and bad, and you don't have time to process? Sometimes we don't make good decisions when we're in that environment. This morning, I want to look at the scriptures with you. And I want you to see an opportunity for us. And amidst the noise, and amidst the distraction, and amidst the confusion, and amidst so much that we wonder if we can trust and find our way forward. And I think that's a valuable tool for all of us. So thankful that you're all here this morning and your interest in spiritual things. Grateful for those that are tuned in online. Kevin, I wish so badly I could sing louder. I really enjoy our singing, but halfway through this morning, I'm cackling and, you know, gurgling back there, so I had to lower my singing. But so many weaker voices right now. So many struggling with the cough drop, you know, routine that seems to not want to let us go. But we're still here, and we're still singing, raspy voices and all, because we love our Lord and Savior. We love the great and glorious God that we serve, and we hope that the sum total of our lives will not be counted as excuses of times that we didn't feel well and we missed. But yet reminding ourselves of our relationship with God and how much we're willing to push through to be a part of public worship for Him. So if you're visiting with us this morning, we are exceptionally thankful you are here. And pray that you're able to come back any opportunity that you find. The title of this morning's lesson is In the Beginning. You will not be turning your Bibles to Genesis. This is a different kind of beginning. And what I mean by this is kind of by our opening comments. Sometimes amidst everything that seems to be going on in our lives, simplicity helps us focus. My kids hate to drive in the car with me because the first thing I reach for is the knob on the radio, and it's to turn the radio off. You'd thought I'd stuck a knife in them because they're like, Dad, can we not just listen to the radio for a little bit? I don't really care for most everything that's on the radio. And what did I just tell you, Avery, the other day? I enjoy our conversation more than I enjoy the music. Because so much of it is noise. And that's how you know you're getting old, when you don't want to listen to the radio anymore and it just seems like noise. But you know, sometimes if you're ever lost, you know, everybody says you turn the radio down so you can see better. It has nothing to do with your ability to see. It has everything to do with your ability to concentrate and to focus on those important things. And sometimes we get exasperated. Sometimes we feel really overwhelmed with the things that life is throwing at us. And unfortunately, when we look at the world around us, it's not always the best as a guide, is it? There are so many people running along in so many different things. Even when you endeavor to look at things from a religious perspective, there are so many directions, so many schools of thought, so many opinions, so many doctrines. But yet, I think about sometimes, what is it that pulls at our heart? What is it that pulls at our attention? You know, maybe I don't have the attitude and the actions in my week that I wish I had. My behavior needs a little bit of tuning. Maybe I don't have the job that I want. You know, maybe I don't have the relationship with my spouse that I would like to have. My clicker die? This thing hates me. There we go. What about the fact that, you know, I don't have the relationship with my kids that I wish I had? Maybe I just don't live the life that I thought I'd be living right now. I know I'm not the only one that's asked these questions. Maybe I don't have the relationship with God that I want right now. And I'm looking everywhere. I have a Bible. I go to church. I have friends. I trust them. Why do I feel so overwhelmed? Why does everything in life feel like noise? And I'm just not sure what to focus on next. I've been well served in my life. When I feel those times pressing in on my heart and my mind, to go back to the things that I trust, to go back to the fundamentals, to go back to the beginning. And so when I think about all that's out there, by way of especially religious noise, I want to remind you that the place that we should start is the place that Jesus started. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 4. Because Matthew chapter 4, and specifically in verse 17, he says, from that time, Jesus began to preach. What does your Bible say he said first? It says he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, chronologically in Jesus' life, we look at the fact that he's already talked to Nicodemus. And he talked to Nicodemus and he said, unless one be born of water and the Spirit, they'll no wise enter the kingdom of God. And he expounds with Nicodemus that he might understand how it is to make these things happen in his life. Jesus has already talked to the woman at the well that the brother talked about the other night in the invitation. Casey, when he talked about that exchange between Jesus, when the woman said, we worship over here, you say you worship in Jerusalem, places we can't even get to, and he says the time is coming where it won't be in the mountain or in Jerusalem that you'll go to worship, but you'll worship him in spirit and in truth. Because that's the kind of people God is looking for to worship him. Those willing to worship him in spirit, in truth. And those are in the Gospel of John, chapters 3 and 4, if you want to read those in more detail later. But in his Galilean ministry, he's starting to preach. And what does he begin his message with? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I dare tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we can look out at the world and so quickly and so easily become disenchanted with so many things that we see. And the world encourages us to constantly be looking out into the world for things that entice you or things that incite you and encourage you to get involved. But I want to challenge that this morning. Because what I want you to get involved with this morning is your heart. I want you to engage your relationship with God. You know how easy it is to look out and assess all that you see. How brave are you to be willing to look in? Honestly, look in and see if there is need for repentance in your life. This is the first of the gospel that we see preached publicly by Jesus. How important is this in the noise of all that we hear? Well, it's the thing that he started with. So I'd say that brings some importance to it. But understand, if you're in Matthew, I want you to understand, Jesus is not, and ne'er is he ever, all gloom and doom. We get that rap sometimes, don't we? All that you are when you define yourself as a Christian is you share with people the things that you don't do. Well, I'm a Christian, so I don't drink or cuss or do all those things that we rightfully should not be doing. But when you're identifying yourself by all the things that you're not doing, which is a good thing, look at the opportunity you have left on the table to share with people all the things that you are doing because of your relationship with God. Think about that opportunity the next time you have those kinds of conversations. Talk about all the things that you have the privilege of as a child of God. Think about all the promises that you have been given by God as one of His children. And be sure to remember that those promises are given to His children. We like to write them on calendars, and we like to put them in our journals, and we like to feel good about them in general, but they're not for you if you're not a child of God. Those promises are not yours. And the world is lying to you when he says that you can have those things, because you can't. All of that peace, all of that love, all of that understanding, all of that contentment in your heart that you seek so badly is only and will only ever be found in God. You will forever be restless until your heart rests in God. We have to remember those kinds of ways to illustrate our relationship with God so that when we do find wrong in our lives, we're willing, hastily so, to repent of the things in our lives. But yet Jesus does in this discourse here in the beginning of Matthew, and it's really familiar territory for most, and if it's not, I'd encourage you to read your Bibles more. We talked about the benefit of repetition the other day, right? I don't know when we did that. An invitation, Wednesday night. We talked about how important it was to do things by repetition so that we get better, that it becomes more natural, that we begin to trust those things. If you're not real comfortable with your Bible, just get it out more. Put one in your car. Put one in your house. Put one at your job. Put one everywhere. Remember, it's on your phone. Find an app if you don't have one. You have unlimited access to God's will and His Word. Be in it. And know it. And live it. Because he shares wonderful things with us in the beginning of Matthew in verses 2 through 12. And we call them the Beatitudes. Because it's a wonderful small discourse about the things that we should be striving for. Like being poor in spirit. And those that mourn will be comforted. And the meek that are blessed. And those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. For that connection with God. To be merciful, to be pure in heart, and to be peacemakers, to understand that persecution will come, and to not be persecuting others, that you'll be reviled to some degree, unfortunately, for your faith, but it will ultimately serve to glorify God. We're given these truths so that we might know the things that we are to be busy in doing as we're trying to fundamentally follow the path the Lord has put before us. And when we can revert back to these beginnings, to these first principles, sometimes we'll call them, it's easier to push off some of the fluff and the distraction. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to do anything out in my garage, the first thing I do is get my leaf blower out. Only because I'm too lazy to sweep sometimes, because you can sweep a lot faster with a leaf blower. But I want to clean the floor. I want to get things tidied up. I want to get stuff out of the way so that when I'm working, I don't get my stuff all scratched up by the dirt that's on the floor. Put something together and now it's all wobbly because I had it sitting on something I didn't notice. I like to clean things out and start fresh and new so I don't have all those other distractions or things that can cause problems with what I'm trying to do. And this is the instruction that God gives us. When we focus on these things, things get a little clearer. We get rid of some of the distractions in our lives. But understand that in that same context, he's teaching us, right, through this process. He's planting these seeds. He's encouraging our growth in these things because he does. He gives us warnings like, watch out for anger and that divisive spirit that sometimes creeps in amongst your family and your friends. Your brothers and sisters in Christ there in verses 21 through 26. He talks about be real careful to guard your heart. Because I don't think there's a lot of people in here that we have to really tell you for the first time how quickly your heart will lean on lust for something. It's a natural thing to some degree, which is why we have to be attentive to it, to keep it under control, to exercise self-control. And that we deal honestly and honorably with one another, but especially those that we have taken a vow before God and other witnesses to love until death we are parted. It talks about being careful about how it is that you might speak and talk to one another and the things that you might claim to do. Be very careful. Is that something that you might need to work on as you're growing, as you're seeking to nurture those seeds that God has planted in you amidst all of this busyness? Do not retaliate. That is such an easy thing to say, but an incredibly hard thing to practice. You're not going to naturally not want to get back or retaliate or at least protect in some way from someone doing something to you if they've done something bad to you initially. And especially if, heaven forbid, they've done it repeatedly. And he goes even further than that, and he talks about loving your enemies. These are some of the things that we have to be watchful for. Yes, he tells us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to look at our lives. We have to be willing to recognize what Jesus is trying to teach us, the seeds that he's trying to plant in us, and we have to be willing to nurture them. We have to be willing to feed and water them so that they grow up into the manifestations and the fruit, as we use in religious terms, will bear in our lives. I don't want to be someone who just talks about things. I want to be someone who people can see those things in my life. How important is something to you, really, if all I ever do is hear you talk about it, but I never see you engaged in it? I never see the fruit of those things in your life. You might say that you are something or believe something or want something, but when there's no effort and there's no action to it, how are we to believe that you're being honest with yourself or us? James said it this way: faith without works is dead. How is it that we look at the things that we are growing in our lives as we strive to mature? In this process, in this goal of growth in our lives, it is incredibly important for us to understand that by Jesus saying, by that first word that we read, by the word repent, that means that things aren't so good. But you can't even begin to understand how much Jesus loves you if you can't recognize the sin in your life. If you can't recognize the devastating nature of sin and the separation that it causes you from God, and the love that it took from Christ to give his life on the cross, to shed his blood so that you could be cleansed. When you don't even want to live for God, he already died and had that happen so that you could have access to that blood and to be cleansed if you'd be so willing. You'll never, my friend, be interested at all in any kind of repentance if you can't first acknowledge the sin you find in your life. This is why he was faithful, to remind us of those things we just looked at, things that we must be working on, because we recognize that Christ, that the Holy Scriptures, is the measuring stick. And that it is God that helps us to understand what sin is. And he defines it in so many different ways in the Bible. Regardless of what the world will tell you what sin is, if the world even mentions the word sin anymore, doing some reading this last week about how many preachers, and I'll use that term loosely in this context, don't even preach about sin anymore. The prosperity gospel has been around a long time. People have always wanted to lift you up and make you feel good and give you a hug and pat you on the back, but not declare the whole counsel of God to you. They say, unless you repent, you will perish. Period. And I don't want to be the only guy telling you that. And I know that if you're here, I'm not the only one telling you that. Because we stand for the truth here. And we preach the whole Word of God here. And as painful as it is to recognize the devastating nature of sin, as painful it is to recognize that there is a place prepared for people that refuse to accept the love of God, it is what is in the Scripture. And Paul said, woe unto me if I declare not the whole counsel of God. And therefore we must teach. We must warn. We certainly want to encourage. We certainly long for the embrace and the cheerfulness and the strength and the unity and the blessings. All of those things are so wonderful to experience in the family of God. But unfortunately, the world tells you that you can find those things anywhere. So you don't need the family of God. You don't need a relationship with the only Savior this world will ever have. You can find those things in your friends. You can find those things at school. You can find those things in your workplace. Anywhere. The world wants you to find it anywhere. But heaven forbid you find it in the holy written Word of God. Heaven forbid you find it in the loving arms of Jesus Christ. How do we get rid of an awful lot of the noise in this world? How do we get back to fundamentally putting my life on the right path? I get back to those basics. And I remember that Jesus told me that I need to be willing to repent. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my ultimate focus for this morning. I have two verses that I want to share with you, two slides, and we're going to call our time this morning to a close. But our time here, my efforts here this morning will have been wasted. If you don't take some time today, after the praying, the visiting, the shaking of the hands, after lunch, after all of those things that might be on your mind today, if sometime this afternoon in the quiet space in between things, you don't go to your Heavenly Father, and you pray something like David did when David asked God to search his heart and to show him any evil in him. How was David a man after God's own heart? There are ways to answer that question, multiple ways. One of the ways I answer that question, how could David be a man after God's own heart when we know the sins that he committed? Is because when he was confronted with those sins, he was very willing to repent, to seek God's forgiveness, to be reconciled to his Lord and Savior, to have the peace that comes by knowing that your soul is safe and secure for the day of judgment. But as so many illustrations are given, and as these slides have suggested, God gives us these instructions that we might bear fruit, that we might actually do the things he's telling us to do. And so in that respect, when it comes time for harvest, there's a few verses that come to mind. And James illustrates this in verse 16. He says, for jealousy and selfish ambition exist. I've been there in my life. I've been jealous. I've been very focused on me and what I want and be willing to do whatever I want to get there. But James tells us that where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice or evil work, King James, I believe, says. But the wisdom above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. and a harvest of righteousness as sown in peace by those who make peace. That's what I want for my life. Amidst everything else that's going on, the noise and the smoke and the chatter and the confusion and the chaos, this is what I want. And how do I get what I want? I go back to the beginning. And I remember what Jesus pleaded for me to do. And when I am humble and brave enough to do that, God will bless it in ways we cannot measure. Lastly, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He encourages us this way. He says, abide in me. In God, not in other things. Abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And in case you didn't understand that, he says in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. God's not saying you're a dummy. He just wants to make sure you don't miss it. So he repeats it. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He it is that bears much fruit. Now pay very close attention, ladies and gentlemen, because this is what helps lead us back to be willing to repent of the wickedness in our lives. The latter part of verse 5 says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now certainly, that doesn't mean that we can't be busy and fill up our time with all kind of fairly good exploits that we think are wholesome and doing good things. But how many times have we said, and I would admonish you until I don't have breath, be careful that you don't fill your life up with so many good things that you don't leave space for the best things. This morning, I want you to find whatever it takes to shut off the noise. Go back to the beginning and remember what Jesus said when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And this idea, this movement in our heart, this willingness to change our mind and our behavior, our willingness to be all in, as we use the expression sometimes, is to recognize when our will does not line up with God's will. When our will comes first over what God's will is. In the Bible, that's called sin. But we're able to repent of those sins. We're able to ask God for forgiveness of those sins. We're able to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism as Jesus was in the grave in the likeness of his resurrection, so will we be raised and newness of life, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, to walk righteously, holy, cleansed. Yes, we'll fall. Yes, we'll make mistakes. Those opportunities, we have been given the promises because we were willing to repent and live for the Lord. Can we help you with that this morning? The baptistry's ready. Can we pray with you this morning? Do you need help shutting the noise off? Because I've had to do that for people, and I know you've probably done that for your friends. Sometimes you just got to get them out of the noise. Didn't we talk about Jude last week? Be willing to snatch them out of the fire if you have to, so that they might make the decisions, that they might come in contact with God's love and his mercy and his grace and find the saving of their souls. If we can help you in any way this morning with those things, please make your wishes known while we stand and sing.